This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. Well, this evening, for the first hour, they're going to be the views of Mr. Jim Guest, who is going to be talking about the real ID card, and he's a member of the legislature. Well, I'm going to let him tell you just a little bit about himself. We've had him on as a guest before, and always a very, very welcome guest here at Radio Liberty. Mr. Guest, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on again, and glad to share my message with the listeners around this country and around the world, wherever they're listening in tonight.
All right, fine. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. You are a legislature. Whereabouts?
I'm a legislature in Missouri here. I live in northwest Missouri. I've got an engineering background, and I came back to the farm several years ago, and I'm a small businessman, starting some small businesses and other things. And about 6 years ago, I decided the opportunity was there for me to get into public service, so I ran as a state representative here in Missouri, and I've been elected to, three times now, and be running again for my fourth term next year. I've served on the Workforce Development Corrections Committees, and I've been chair of the Fiscal Review Committee here in Missouri for the last 2 years. As chairman of the Fiscal Review, any bill that comes through the state legislature that impacts the cost of it over $100,000 either way has to come from my committee for approval after it's had action on the floor, so I'm somewhat of a checks and balance there, and does have some influence on if I think our state is getting too extravagant in its spending. So,
well, let's talk a little bit about the RFID cards, because I think that this is something that people have to understand. There really are people who have a different worldview, and they want every person in this country numbered. Now, we were promised that our Social Security card would number would never be used for anything but Social Security, and we only had to have that number because government loved us so much and wanted to give us money when we got old and couldn't work. But, of course, that was, like so many government promises, not true. They want every person numbered, and now they want everybody to eventually be forced to carry a card. They want to have RFID. Chips on every cow, and you see the cows now, they have these little green tags on their ears, but so many of them carry RFID, identification. What's this really all about, in your estimation?
I think you came very close to covering all of it. It's the goal of losing our government to track us. I probably started working on this 2 or 3 years ago when the Real ID Act was passed, part of H.R. 418 in our U.S. Congress. H.R. 418 was a bill to provide about $82 billion in supplemental war effort for soldiers and also some charitable tsunami relief there. You know, two probably well-meaning things. So it was something that most members of Congress could not vote against.
But, of course, it had another little something on there. In the
yes.
And, of course, that's
late one night in the House, they decided, I think, Dr. James Sensenbrenner, a representative, added what was called the Real ID Act onto it.
All right, fine. So this is what they do, of course, so often to get to what they really want.
Mm-hmm. It was added there, and, without very little debate. It went over to the Senate side and never even had a debate on the Senate. It was voted out without any opposition. And lo and behold, what seemed like a very harmless bill contained the Real ID Act, and that is where we really have some serious problems facing us in the future. The Department of Homeland Security said that starting in May of 2008, you got to have a real ID card if you want to get on the federally regulated airplane or enter any federal building or any nuclear power plant.
Well, now, I thought this was all about terrorism. This is about stopping terrorism.
Oh, yeah.
But certainly, are the terrorists going to have their RFID cards? Are all the terrorists going to abide by our laws? Or is this simply for the law-abiding citizens?
Oh, that's what it is. Why, if we're concerned about terrorists, are we putting this on the backs of the freedom-loving Americans? That is the fault in this. And actually, the National ID card, which is what it is, even though they say it's not, you know, they've been trying to get this passed for probably 30 years. In the Carter administration, they tried to get it implemented. In the Reagan administration, he outright told them it wasn't going to have it. And in the Clinton administration, they did kind of have an ID card attached to a bill, which was passed, but there was such a public outcry on it, it was taken out. So all they needed was a reason for it, an excuse, and when 9/11 happened, you know, the threat of terror or threat of another outbreak, they were able to slip it through at that point. And they say, well, we need to have a more secure driver's license, and to do that, you know, to stop terrorism, because the terrorist had some more than one driver's license. However, there's some fault in what they're saying there. The terrorists got their driver's license basically using the passport from some of the countries they came from. Those passports, which we accept, were stolen. So we have no way of controlling the authenticity or the accuracy of the passports when somebody from another country comes in. So that's where the policy comes in. They say they want to control terrorists. Well, let's target the terrorists, as you say. Let's not target those who are in this country, not causing any problems. I don't think the 80-year-old grandmother gets on an airplane is much of a threat, at least not in Missouri.
Well, I don't think so in much of the country at all. But, of course, this is really a long-range plan, and it's so difficult, I think, for many Americans to believe that there really would be those out there who are not interested at all in fighting terrorism, but are more interested in controlling and numbering and watching and observing and tracking law-abiding citizens, especially those like yourself and myself, who understand that there is a plan to do away with our sovereignty and bring us under the control of this ruling elite. We're going to be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Jim Guest, who's a legislator in the state of Missouri, and he's been very concerned about this RFID card, this tracking card. They say it's just to be actually a driver's license is secured, and of course we know it's a right driver's license because it has an RFID chip in it, but and somehow by getting every American to have to carry one of these cards, we're going to defeat Osama bin Laden, who wants to take away our freedom. And so by giving up our freedom and allowing us to be ourselves to be tracked, we're going to thwart the desires of the evil Osama bin Laden. So how do we counteract something like this? Because there's so many people who just blindly follow along whatever the government tells them, without ever stopping and questioning what's really going on.
I think part of it, as you say, you know, a lot of people, it's slowly being implemented in various ways without the people's knowledge of what's on there. You know, they say they want, first off, they say this card has to have what they call a common machine-readable technology. So that's a barcode on it, on the back. However, they've backed off strongly saying it's going to have an RFID chip initially. What people need to know is the Department of Homeland Security has there is no judicial, there is no legislative oversight on this. If this is not stopped, we're giving them a blank check to increase any requirements in the future on it. And you can be assured that there will be a requirement that it have an RFID chip in it. And when that chip is placed in it, then we found out a few states have some RFID chips already in their driver's license, that this enables the government to keep track of you. All these databases, the states have to keep a database on you when you go get your new card with all your information on it. And with this big link, all you have to do is link into your Social Security number, and you can download and get whatever information that's on you, or anybody can. So that is where the problem comes in there, that we are becoming less secure instead of more secure, and the people think that with this real ID card that they will feel a little bit more secure. In essence, it's a false sense of security when this goes through.
And I think it's like with so many things. Initially, the American citizens invested literally hundreds of billions of dollars in defensive actions to protect us from the wicked communists, and we had to have these satellites that were to be up in space spying on the wicked communists. But now, of course, those same military satellites that have been used in the past to spy on the wicked communists are now being converted to civilian use so they can spy on the American people, not on the terrorists, because we don't care about terrorists. We haven't tried to seal our borders at all. Any effort to seal our borders has been effectively blocked, so we know that they're not really tracking the terrorists, but they are monitoring every American. In fact, they can even tell the quality of your roof. They can look at the shingles on your roof. The technology is that good, designed to spy on the Soviets, but now, of course, spying on the American people. Well, how are we going to convince the American people that they really have to be concerned about freedom, Jim? So many people take freedom for granted here without recognizing that our founding fathers feared government more than anything. They feared that the power of government would eventually one day be used against the people. How are we going to get people to understand the American dream is based upon limiting the power of the government so men could be free?
You're right on the target there. We're supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, not a government to be feared. It's the role of government to protect our freedoms, not to take them away, and certainly not by those who we elect and put in power to protect us. And do you know who is running our Department of Homeland Security on this real ID thing?
Oh, I don't know. Who is it?
We have five or six ex-KGB agents. Now, the KGB in Russia, were they working for the government, or were they working for the people? You know, they were working for the government. They had people spying on each other. They had people carrying cards around so they could keep track of those. And that's exactly who we have over here instituting this program. So they are very knowledgeable on how to set up a program for the government to track you, to watch you, and know where you're going. You talk about losing our freedom. We will be losing it in huge chunks. And I say right now, this country is at the crossroads. Our future is at stake now. If we go down this road and this real ID is implemented, we're going to lose some freedoms that we will never get out. You know, the Constitution was in 1876, you know, it was founded in the Bill of Rights to establish and to protect our rights. That's rights of freedom of religion, speech, the right to bear arms, the right of assembly, the protection of our privacy and our personal papers, and that is what we're losing here. What protection do we have when the government can look into our bank accounts, monitor where we're going? That is what the Constitution was supposed to protect. I just kind of wonder what our forefathers would think if they were to come back and look at their country now. This is the country that you know, they fought for, they put their lives and their whatever business had on the line when they signed that Constitution. You know, they felt like freedom meant that much to them. Do the people in this country still value freedom that much? At least do people like you and I and others value the freedom enough that we're willing to fight for it. But we've got to get the rest of the people to realize the danger that's confronting us now.
Well, of course, the thing is, you're in the state legislature. Do you think that the average member of your legislature understands the American Constitution? Do you think that they can instantly understand that the whole purpose of our federal government was to limit the power of government, and that was the function of the Bill of Rights? Are they aware that our founding fathers feared the power of government, or are they simply doing what's sort of expedient? You know, this sounds like a good idea, let's do it. After all, we've got to counter Osama bin Laden, because if we don't have everybody carrying one of these cards, Osama bin Laden's going to be able to take away our freedom.
Yep, the Tenth Amendment says, and our forefathers were so intelligent, maybe they had some divine intervention there when they set that up. You know, it's it says that the federal government, it says the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states or to the people. The only power that the federal government has is what we give them or what's not prohibited by them. And they have certainly overstepped that bounds by in the last few years. They have forgotten what the Constitution is. I think we need to make sure at the beginning of each session in every state and at the U.S., at the Washington, D.C., that they read through that Constitution at the beginning of the session so that they understand what they're supposed to be governing by.
Well, I certainly think so. But the thing is that certainly every state legislator, when he is sworn in, has to swear to uphold the Constitution, and not only of the state, but of the federal government, and defend that Constitution of the United States against enemies both foreign and domestic. And nobody ever asks who those domestic enemies are, but I would like to suggest they're the people who want to change our form of government and have a different world view. And unfortunately, the average individual finds it so difficult to believe that there would be people here in the United States who don't believe in freedom, whose loyalty is to this globalist idea, this globalist concept of a ruling elite, because us common people are just too stupid to know what's best for it.
Yep, I say our country and its citizens are under attack. But this time it's not from outside, but it's from within our borders, you know. I think as Americans we're having our rights and freedoms stripped away from us at an alarming rate. And that's, under this administration, and as I said earlier, this almost a KGB-style homeland security. We must protect our country on our shores from those who would want to destroy our way of life. And, you know, we are the people of a great nation if we protect the liberty by which it was founded. But then I think, as you mentioned earlier, the dangers our founding fathers worried about was our complacent nature when we become prosperous, when we take for granted that these freedoms are always going to be here. So,
amen to that. For our listeners out there, there's a wonderful book called Spy Chip, which we do carry, and we have a number of interviews with Catherine Albrecht and with Liz, her friend, Liz McIntyre, who has written extensively about this. Are you acquainted with Liz's, Catherine Albrecht's work on the RFID chip?
I haven't read any of her books. I read some articles that she's put out, and, you know, she's right on target with that about the threat of what's coming with that, yes.
And not only that, but they're shipping the animals on all of our farms. They want to be able to identify every animal that's out there. Even the little chickens. Well, of course, if you're a big chicken farmer, all the eggs are born on, you know, hatched on one day, and they can all be put into the same number. But if you're a small chicken farmer with a few hundred chickens and they hatch on different days, you have to have a separate RFID number and a chip on those. And I don't even know how you're going to be able to band all your chickens with different RFID tags. And certainly we know that they're already forcing the farmers to have their RFID on their cattle. And they even want the farmer to have to report if that cow is moved from one field to another. They want to know where all the cows in America are. How in heaven's name are they ever going to track all the cows? I mean, they can't even track the money that dollars they send to Iraq.
There are some farmers throughout this country that are just outraged at the thought of this. You know, my position on this is if you want to put chips in your animals, if it's market-driven, you should be free to do that. You know, it should be market-driven for you to do that, to identify your animal. But you should not be forced to do this by your federal government. And that's certainly where we differ on this.
Yeah, because this is going to be prohibitively expensive for the small farmer. But then there's some very large farmers who don't like the competition. What a wonderful thing to do, to use the federal government to get rid of your competition by making impossible demands on them that you don't have to abide by yourself. Jim, so how are we going to reach the legislators? Because certainly one of the most important things is is to get the state legislators to understand. And what are they doing in your state? Are the people in your state going to go along with the RFID, or have they taken a stand against it?
Oh, yeah, let's go on to that. You know, there's people who told me that I could not oppose the federal government on this issue. But, you know, they're wrong. I'm getting other states to tell the federal government that no one is issued. I formed a coalition of states. It's called LORI, Legislators Against Real ID. And here in Missouri, I've got legislation filed for Missouri to oppose this, and I've sent this model legislation to other states. And to date, we have 8 states who have rejected the Real ID, where they've actually changed their state laws to say they will not go along with it. And we've probably got another 20 other states who have passed resolutions. Resolutions are not binding, but they sent it to their federal elected officials saying that they want to go on record as opposing it.
But of course, the federal government is saying, you can't oppose this, we're in charge here, and it's saying, you're just not going to be able to get on a plane, you're not going to be able to travel, you know, you're going to have a passport, you want to get into a federal building. If you don't, we're going to punish you if you don't go along with our program, because we're here to protect you from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's hiding over there in the cave in Pakistan.
Yep, that's, you know, is that the way it's supposed to be? Is that we, the people, have to take back our country? Anyway, we are making progress in this. We're, telling the federal government that they've overstepped their bounds. That, you know, this is not a national security issue. It's a control issue that they're putting upon us. So I'm continuing to work. I think next year we'll get more states to change their laws to say that they will not go along with this. And hopefully, in their wisdom, that the federal government will vote and will repeal this Real ID Act and put in some sensible legislation to close our borders and start tracking those who come into our country who we think are terrorists, or at least put up some kind of a mechanism to screen those who we think are potential threats when they come into this country. You know, as long as until we close our borders, it makes no sense to start continuing to track and identify those who's in this country. There is no wisdom in it. It's just the idea that someone wants to control this. They want to know where we are. They want to know our business now and in the future.
Well, you know, of course, the thing is that it should be very obvious that the current administration has no interest in stopping a terrorist from coming across our southern border. In fact, you know, Congress had voted for a fence that was 700 or 800 miles long, and they appropriated the money for it, and of course the instructions were given it was to be completed by about a year from now. And you know, the Bush administration has done everything they could to block the construction of that fence that was authorized by the state legislature. Are they free to I thought the executive's purpose was to carry out the desire of the legislature, the federal legislature, not to certainly have their own independent policy, independent of the wishes of the people.
That's what is happening. You know, we're getting so many executive orders issued to bypass the Congress, bypass the will of the people, and set policy out there, and that is wrong. You know, we've got this North American Union coming along, and for those who don't know what it is, the North American Union is a plan to form Mexico and Canada in with the United States into one union.
Hold that though, we're going to be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Jim Guest is our guest for this hour. And he was just simply saying that there in Missouri, where he's on in the legislature, he actually had gotten the state of Missouri to go ahead and vote to say, we're not going to go along with the RFID Act as far as individuals, the identification card for people. And then, of course, he's got a number of other state legislatures do exactly the same thing, and even a much larger number of state legislatures to pass non-binding resolutions opposing this whole idea. So how many other states have joined Missouri in saying, we're not going to go along with this federal program? How many other states have passed a non-binding resolution supporting your position?
I think we have 8 states right now that have passed you might say, binding laws in their state that say they refuse to go along with it. You know, in essence, that says, you know, if the federal government says you can't get on an airplane if you don't have the real ID, then are these airlines going to avoid those 8 states? I don't think so. We may have a showdown come that point to see whether the federal government can control the airline industry or not. And then, like I said, this other 20 states who have probably passed resolutions, I think some more of those will come back next year and pass laws to change theirs to actually make it binding. Next year is an election year. I think it's very important for those people out there who want to protect their freedom. They ask those congressmen and senators where they stand on the freedom issue. Are they going to protect the freedom of the people in that state? Or are they going to side with the government and require you to have a real ID so you can be tracked? And that can be a very important or very persuasive issue in an election year.
And I really think this is really so true. I think that anybody with half an ounce of intelligence has to realize that the federal government really doesn't believe in a war on terrorism. If they believed in a war on terrorism, they certainly would have sealed our southern border. If they really believed in a war on terrorism, why they would have gone ahead and built the fence that was authorized last year and was supposed to be completed a year from now. 700 or 800 miles of the fence is to be built along the 2,000-mile border. But, of course, they've even refused to only... they've built about 3 miles, and there's no way they're going to get the rest of this done. So, obviously, they have no intention of trying to block the terrorists. They're using the threat of terrorism to justify a police state controls on the American people. That's what it's really all about. I mean, if they were really concerned about Osama bin Laden, they would have pursued him on into Pakistan and captured him. If they really were concerned about Osama bin Laden, they would have captured him when they had him holed up in the Torbal Mountains instead of letting him escape and refusing to allow the American troops who were there to actually try to catch him. So nothing as it appears to be, and certainly if they were concerned about Osama bin Laden, then why did they forget to stop trying to catch him and actually then go to war with Iraq? Was that what it was really all about to begin with? And certainly was Osama bin Laden just a good excuse to justify that? Let me just read you very briefly from page 180 of the book called, written by Tom Keene and Lee Hamilton, and it dealt with what was the 9/11 Commission report. And this is a fascinating book. It's called Without Precedent, and here's why, simply what it says. Condoleezza Rice was asked by one of the members of the 9/11 Commission, and I quote, "Why the Bush administration had not held senior-level meetings on counterterrorism before September 2001, and why more had not been done to take defensive measures in response to the threat of reporting over the spring and summer of that year." And Condoleezza Rice responded and pointed out that the nation simply wasn't prepared to take drastic action against Al-Qaeda before 9/11, either abroad or in reforming government at home, and said, and I quote Condoleezza Rice, "Until there is a catastrophic event that forces people to think differently, that forces people to overcome all customs and old culture and old fears about domestic intelligence, then you don't get that kind of change." Let me repeat that. Until there is a catastrophic event that forces people to think differently, that forces people to overcome all customs and old culture and old fears about domestic intelligence, that you don't get that kind of change. In other words, we weren't going to change the American people's attitude about freedom until there was a major event. And boy, there sure was a major event. They didn't try to stop it. That comes from page 180 of Without Precedent, and you'll actually find the testimony in the 9/11 Commission report. Read it, understand, ladies and gentlemen, that they specifically did not try to stop the attack because they wanted to change our attitude. Thank you. Well, Jim, you can't be very popular there in Washington, D.C., or with the Office of Homeland Security when you were standing in defiance of the elite who really want to control the population.
You know, that's right. I've heard that I'm not very popular going against the bureaucracy wants to do. But, once I think about this, and I thought, I don't want to sit on my steps with my grandchildren and say, I can remember back when America used to be free. I don't want to do that. I want to keep this country free, and I hope that our forefathers would look down and say, I'm proud of what you're doing. That's what we did when we established the freedom and the Constitution, the Bill of Rights in this country. That's what it's about. And I think we've got many people out there who will join us in this. And if they want to learn more about this, we have a website. It's Legislators Against Real ID. It's www.legislatorsagainstrealid.com, or they can Google l.a.r.i.realid, and it will come up, and that will give them some more information on it.
Oh, could they just actually Google in your name, Jim?
Yes. I've got so many articles out there on me that will probably bring it up. And also, my travel around the country, I'm doing this on my own dime, and I've had a lot of people who want to, contribute a few dollars to help me, and I've got a committee set up to do that. It's a Committee for America's Freedom, Box 601, King City, Missouri, 64463, and I get donations all over the country. I got some small check today from Texas. I get several from California. You just name it. People that hear me on this program and others, want to help. It doesn't make any difference the size of the donation. It can be a small amount or it can be a large amount, and just all it does is goes to pay for my travel. I went back to Williamsburg, Virginia, and spoke to the 16 southern states at their legislative conference, and there were several legislators that wanted a copy of the model legislation there. I went to Michigan to speak to the Midwest Legislative Conference a couple weeks ago. And there were several states that, some of them had kind of heard about it, but they didn't realize the full implications of it, so they want copies of it to hopefully they can implement in their legislation next year. So it takes some work. We've got a lot of legislators around the country who have joined forces with me to work on this. But then, as you said earlier, yes, it's not very popular when you go against a program that somebody has set up in D.C. to take away.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Jim Guest is our guest. And certainly, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Would love to hear from you. I'm sure Mr. Guest would be glad to answer your questions. Now, Mr. Guest, of course, is actually his website's out there. He does all this on his own. If you'd like to help him and like to contribute towards his travel, because, of course, he's spending a great deal of his time traveling and talking to legislators from other states and developing this groundswell of opposition in state legislatures to this idea that we will each have to have our own little card so that we can be tracked, so that we can thwart the efforts of Osama bin Laden, who wants to take away our freedom. And Jim, I'd like you to go ahead and get your web page out again, would you?
Okay. It's Legislators Against Real ID.
Legislators Against Real ID,
you know. And, like I said, you can Google in my name, and I'm pretty sure it'll bring it up and several other things that I've been working on there. And that website does have, you can link on to this Committee for America's Freedom. I'll give that again. Committee for America's Freedom, Box 601, King City, Missouri, 64463. Today I got a check, and it was made out to Lori, Box 601. That is fine. They all go to help me in my travels out there and to continue to work with us. But we want the people to fully understand, unless the states ask for an extension, you will have to go into your local Department of Revenue to get a new ID, and you will not get that in a few minutes. It's going to take you many trips, and they are going to make copies of all the data that you bring in there. They're going to copy your birth certificate, your Social Security number, where you live. They're going to put that in a data file, in a database in that state. Everybody in any state can link onto that. This has to be shared with all other states. The Department of Homeland Security, in their wisdom, thinks we need to share this globally. That means some foreign country can link into our database. This can be the country where these parents are coming from. So you tell me whether somebody in D.C. is looking out for our security or whether they want to have control over us.
I don't really
think the answer is pretty obvious.
I really think it's so funny. You know, I went to the doctor today for something, just minor, but one of the things you have to do is you have to sign this special form that says, understand that they have a privacy policy dedicated to protecting our policy. And I've read the privacy policy, and I know that they've tried to protect my privacy so other people won't know what's going on about my personal matters having to do with health. And then if you sit down and you read the privacy policy, what it is that they can release the information on you, just about anyone they want to, and anybody who wants that information, has nothing to do with protecting your policy. It has to do with taking away your privacy. You see, they have to use words to conceal what they're really up to, and they want the information on your health. They want to know what books you read, and that's why they're checking the various libraries to see what books people are reading. But of course, the librarian can't tell you they're checking out. If you do anything at your bank, you cast a large check, or you put a large amount of money in the bank, they have to report that to the government. All of these things are on your permanent record. They have massive data files on all the law-abiding citizens. They're not tracking the terrorists, ladies and gentlemen. They're tracking the law-abiding citizens, and they're setting up these files. And not just that the FBI, the military has their files on you, the Office of Homeland Security has their files, and then they merge them all together so that they know everything about you. And if you, we have a wonderful 4-tape set on what happened in China as the communists took in and how they were monitoring the people. We're talking about back in the 40s, and this one missionary was there. They knew the number of shirts he had in his drawer, the number of handkerchiefs he had in his bedroom, the number of pairs of socks he had. They were monitoring everything about him before they took over. And if you've never heard our 4-tape set on China, you really need to take that to understand. Fast forward now, really, 60 years to where we are today. And there are people who are collecting similar files on us. And if you have a grocery cart and you buy groceries, they're keeping track of what you buy at the grocery store. You buy things with a credit card. All those files are kept. They have gigantic dossiers on the American citizens, and you have to ask yourself why. If you're out there and you're listening out and you have a question or comment, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Jack, do you have a question?
Indeed. I wanted to know if the guest is aware of what Alex Jones has said. That's the first question.
No, what has Alex Jones said?
What he said is numerous cities and towns have passed their own local ordinances prohibiting the Patriot Act.
Well, no, this isn't the Patriot Act. This is simply RFID.
Right. I'm just thinking, Dr. Stan, that perhaps locally the people at the grassroots can force a mandate banning ID.
Let's see what Jim is doing, because he's working the state legislatures, and that covers a lot more people. What about the local communities passing resolutions? Jim, let him reply, please. Yeah.
I'm not aware of that. I think the biggest impact is when each state passes changes their state law to say, we will not go along with the Real ID Act. In Missouri, I want to pass a law that says the state cannot sell your personal information from your driver's license application or your tax returns. You mentioned the Patriot Act. Part of my 5 points to America's freedom is we need to repeal the Patriot Act, or as I call it, the Unpatriot Act, which allows your federal government to spy on your phone records, your bank accounts, and what have you. I guess you can get something done at the local level, but I think you're be much better if you do it at the state level to cover everything. You have to do whether you can supersede state law or not.
And I think really what's interesting, of course, is that the federal government wanted your picture, and what they did, you know, they went around to the states, and they actually paid the states, and they bought copies of the pictures off of all the driver's license, but they lied about it. They had to say, they said it was private companies that were doing this credit card, certainly a security, and it simply wasn't that case at all. They didn't want the American people to know that they want your picture, and of course they want to put that in the database so that we can, when they punch in your name, your picture will come up as well. Did you have another question, Jack?
Real quick, Dr. Stan, thank you for that. I'm going to call. I'm going to start getting on the phone with the legislators tomorrow.
Are you in California?
No, he's in Michigan.
Michigan.
And I was going to ask about the KGB fellows. I remember Mikhail Gorbachev, that Nobel Peace Prize winner, supervised U.S. base closures in the early 90s. Have you interviewed the source, or where is the source that can be verified of the KGB agents that are directing? And as Jeannie last night said, Homeland Security is the Nazi SS.
Okay, fine. Correct. Thanks so much, Jack. And let's go ahead. And certainly, Jack just did mention that Gorbachev had been consulted when we were closing our military bases. If anybody would like to verify that, why, of course, we have the information and the articles about it. Why would we actually have Mikhail Gorbachev be involved with the closing of our military bases? That just doesn't make sense. And of course, Jack is wondering about the KGB agents who are working in Washington, D.C. Is this reported in any of the major media, Jim?
That's true. Back to the original question, I got one news article about, I think his name was Primakov, I'm not sure.
Right, uh-huh.
That was one of the top KGB agents that's working the Department of Homeland Security.
Now, I know he's back in Moscow at the present time.
Oh,
I don't know if he was ever over here, but certainly he may very well have been. I've heard the same stories. I've just never been actually able to verify it. But nothing would surprise me.
That is, when they get people who have done that, and so, he said he's from Michigan, Paul Opsommer. I've been working with him very closely in Michigan to try and do that. I want to go a little bit farther than what Representative Opsommer is. He wants to get back where the states can at least sit down at the table and negotiate with the federal government on what kind of a security we have here. I'd rather just outright ban the real ID and then start to sit down so the states have some say in it. And I've also got an email sometime today, I haven't had a chance to look at, from somebody else in Michigan that wanted some more information. So we're making some inroads here, making more and more states aware that they need to take action to protect the citizens of their state.
Well, Jim, I think what you're really doing is really wonderful, and it's very courageous of you, and I'm just so glad that you're out there doing this. I'd heard that a number of states, had said we're not going to go along with the program. Now, the federal government, of course, is going to punish those states. They're going to punish people who do not want to go along with their agenda, because, after all, that their job is to protect us from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's hiding in a cave. Of course, he's been supposedly on dialysis all this time. I'm not quite sure how you manage dialysis hiding in a cave in Pakistan. I mean, it's a very, very sophisticated process. Being a physician, I can tell you that, I mean, you don't just sit down and just have your little dialysis. You have to be in a hospital doing it. In fact, you know, there are a lot of reports that Osama bin Laden's been dead for a long time, but we sure need somebody to be afraid of, so I guess he's as good as anybody. But what they're really doing is playing on the fears of the American people. Do you ever have that feeling, Jim, that they're exploiting us, that they want us to be fearful so that we will knuckle under and do exactly as we're told?
I was just thinking, as you were talking, I said, you know, why it's so difficult to catch Osama bin Laden? As long as he's loose, he's a threat, and people can fear him or any other terrorist attack on this nation. So as long as they can get the people to live in fear, it's easier to pass more laws or take action to control them, to know where they are. take away their freedom, invade their privacy. You're exactly right. You know, that's kind of what happened in Nazi Germany. You know, those people lived in fear there, and that was how that was able to gain control of them. Well, and there's a kind of a parallel that's going on here right now.
Well, you know, the one advantage we have, they didn't have in Nazi Germany, is we got the Internet. So if you're out there in the listening audience, and I want you to go up on the Internet after the program is over tomorrow, and I want you to Google in Osama bin Laden died, and you'll find literally hundreds of hits on some of the fact that Osama bin Laden, and many reliable sources that say he's been dead for some years, but we can't let the American people know that. The other thing is, of course, go to the FBI website, 10 Most Wanted Men, and notice what the FBI says about Osama bin Laden. They never even mention in the most wanted poster where they're offering a $5 million reward for his capture, they never once mention 9/11. My goodness, the government says he was responsible for 9/11, but I guess they never told the FBI. But go up and check it out on the Internet, ladies and gentlemen, and then go ahead and check out Jim Guest. Jim is our guest tonight, so remember, Jim Guest from Missouri. And the legislation that he has, and he has, certainly model legislation there that's being passed. And get hold of your legislators, and if you can help Jim in your state, if your state hasn't already passed legislation, certainly coming out against this identification card. Here's something that you can do, because I would like to suggest that we're not going to stop Osama bin Laden from taking away our freedom, because, you know, the reason that Osama bin Laden attacked us is because we were free. And so we're not going to stop Osama bin Laden from taking away our freedom by taking away our freedom and requiring everybody to carry an identification card. And I wonder how many people out there really think that the terrorists are going to carry their identification card. So
I would say, you know, it's difficult to get these terrorists to stop us at the border when they come in so we can get their picture and give them a card. You know, terrorists and criminals don't abide by the laws. So if they think they're going to pass a law to require everybody to get a real ID card, you know, they're not going to do it. Some people say, well, I'd feel a little bit more secure if I was on an airplane with a real ID card in my pocket. I said, yeah, the person sat next to you is going to have a fake real ID card in his pocket if that makes you feel any better.
Now, if I was on the plane, I would like to know that there was an air marshal on that plane to protect me. But you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the government is so concerned about airline safety that there's probably less than one air marshal in every 10 flights, probably far less than that. If the government was really concerned about our safety on the planes, they would have deflectors on those planes in case there was a surface-to-air missile fired at it. I can assure you that they have these deflectors on Air Force One to protect the president, but none of our commercial airliners have them. Israel has them on their planes because they want to protect their people from terrorism, but we don't put them on our planes because it's just, well, it's just too expensive.
You know, I always wonder, people say, why do you think you have to have a driver's license to be a terrorist? You can walk into a building with a briefcase and leave a bomb there. You can strap one to you. You can even drive a car without a driver's license. So to think that you're going to stop terrorism by requiring people to have a real ID, you know, that's not going to work. They can do that even without it, or very easily will they be able to make fake IDs. These crooks and counterfeiters are very good at it. It would take they've already said that it would take them a very short time to start selling counterfeit real ID bills. You talk about you're trying to protect your identity. You know, all you have to do is about every day you find out somebody's security has been breached. It was only about a month ago that the state of Ohio lost a hard drive of all 64,000 state employees. That hard drive was lost with their bank data on it, their payroll data, their Social Security, and everything. You know, the Department of Homeland Security, their own transportation department, lost some data on over 100,000 of their employees here about a year ago. So before we even start putting all this data in our database in our state, we've already got it's difficult to protect it. So how in the world do you think that the employees in each state are going to protect your personal data when it's downloaded in there?
In fact, the Department of Veterans Affairs, apparently they lost all of the records on all of the veterans here. In fact, we got letters from the government saying somebody has stolen the records of from the Veterans Administration with your name and Social Security number and all your personal data on it. We want you to know they've stolen it. Now, why would they be that incompetent unintentionally? Or are they trying to frighten us that we need the government to put, because somebody's trying to steal our identity? That's why we have to have a real ID card and with a chip in it, and maybe the next best thing will be simply to have everybody have a chip. So those terrorists won't be able to buy or sell unless they have the chip in their hand or maybe on their forehead. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're seeing is the most incredible scam of all time, and so many people are going along with it. I guess it's been Jim Guest, who's a very courageous man, taking a very courageous stand today. Well, Jim, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay, very good. I would, so more people can, they can't get all this information down, if they can go online and, like I said, Google in Jim Guest, or Google in Laurie, L-A-R-I, space, real ID. They can bring up some information, and I can certainly use some support if they want to send a contribution to the Committee for America's Freedom, or they can just make it out to Laurie, Box 601, King City, Missouri, 64463. But I want everybody out there that's listening to know that the freedom for your future and your children and the generations to come is really on the line. You've got to take this seriously here, what our federal government has planned for us and what they're implementing. It's not too late. Like our forefathers, they fought and stood up for the freedom of this country, and we can do the same thing. Call your state legislator or U.S. legislator. Ask them where they stand on them and ask them why they are not protecting your freedom and not making their voices heard. You know, united we can stand on this thing and we can defeat it. We know that our voices can be heard when enough people speak out, and now is the time to do that. So I wouldn't say it's an uphill battle. We're making some good inroads on it. But when you're going against the federal government, they can bring pressures to bear on you and some people that's helping you. But then this is a battle that we cannot afford to lose. If you like the freedom you have now, then you'd better work to protect it.
Well, have you had any opposition? I mean, any people putting pressures on you?
Oh, indirect. I've had some pressures put on me and some of my staff members here that sort of make it difficult for us to get our job done, or some indirect threats. But then, the quest for freedom is strong enough that we're going to continue to battle forward.
Well, I certainly respect you for what you're doing, Jim, and certainly any time why you'd like to be on our programs, and I will call your secretary and try to get you on to our other programs. I think your message is important, and it's important to realize the effect that one person can have, one person with a vision, one person with virtue and honesty and courage. So I applaud your efforts, and certainly we need more legislators like you who are not there because, this is a way of getting power. They're there because they believe in this elusive concept of freedom under God, because without freedom, my life has very little meaning. God bless you. Thanks for everything you're doing, Jim.
Okay, thank you.
Good night, and God bless.
Good night.
All right, I hope you enjoyed our program with Jim Guest. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I think that Jim is a very, very courageous individual. He's a legislator in the state of Missouri, and of course he is trying to get people to understand that this whole thing is a scam that's been planned a long time. They've always wanted, of course, to have everybody numbered, everybody having a card, and one day, of course, they want to get everybody chipped. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people, and they justify what they're doing into protecting us against the wicked Osama bin Laden. So, certainly we have an excellent book. It's called Spy Chips, and we have a number of fascinating interviews with Catherine Albrecht and Liz McIntyre and several other people, actually, on these ideas for animals. They want to get the animals checked. shipped. They want to get the people shipped. They want to get a chip in your passport. They want a chip in your driver's license. They want to know everything about you. They're collecting dossiers. And if you have any question of collecting dossiers, the book, it's entitled Fixing Intelligence by Major General William Oldham, who headed NSA, the most secret of all of our spy agencies. And of course, in his book, written in 2003, he could not tell us what was going on, but he could ask questions like, should the CIA be assassinating people? Should the CIA have people planted in the media, journalists? Should the CIA and should the Army be keeping dossiers on American citizens? Do you think they should? Well, we hope many of you out there want to get the books by check. You can certainly specifically order the tapes that we have with Catherine Albrecht and other tapes on the chipping of the animals. You can get a copy of this program. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But how do we really understand what's going on? Well, we understand really by understanding that there really are secret societies out there. In fact, someone once said that an understanding of the forces that have shaped the events of the 20th century is predicated not upon facts to be learned, but rather upon secrets to be discovered. And that's why my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, the book or the DVD, my talk on the Forbidden Secret, our four tapes or four CD set on The Secret, Behind the Secret, the award-winning DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and Riddles in Stone, and The Atlantis Connection, and The Emergence. All of these DVDs are so vitally important, because you're not going to hear these things elsewhere. Nobody's going to take you into the history of this movement towards the world government. They're going to tell you there's a movement towards world government, but they will never tell you what energizes the people behind this. And, of course, this is long-range planning of thousands of years. And it's all coming to pass right now. We do carry one book written by a Satanist named Manly P. Hall. It's called The Secret Destiny of America. It is actually not listed in our catalog. You'll have to request it specifically. The Secret Destiny of America by Manly P. Hall. We carry his other book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages. We do not list them on our catalog because we don't want you to think we endorse what he says. But if you're a researcher and you really want to understand what energizes the people who are intent upon destroying our freedom and bringing about the world government, then The Secret Destiny of America explains to you exactly why we are fighting in the Middle East today for democracy. So anyway, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You really need to get my three pamphlets set on the occult hierarchy. That's the occult hierarchy. And please don't forget, we're having an all-day seminar on the 28th of October. That's a Sunday. It's going to be a great seminar. Hope you can make it. And if you're interested, we'd love to hear from you. 1-888-1-800-544. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And right now, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Lindsay Williams. And I've asked Lindsay to come on with us because certainly Lindsay had written back in the early 1980s a book called The Energy Non-Crisis. And it was simply pointing out that there really is no shortage of oil here in the United States. We have massive oil fields off the North Slope of Alaska, and certainly Atlantic Richfield, which of course has subsequently been purchased by British Petroleum, knows that. I've checked Lindsay's story with other people who were on the working there when he was working there on the pipeline back in the 1970s, and I believe his story is true, and everything, of course, I've been able to research. And for those of you who are skeptics, let me suggest you go onto the internet, and we have several articles there. I think they were in 2004 on oil. Pull them down and read them and check them through and understand that they've done a magnificent job of lying to the American people to make us think that, of course, we're running out of oil so that they can run the price up, so they can create artificial shortages. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, the fundamentals of economics are this. If there's a shortage of oil, the price goes up. If there's an abundance of oil and the world was afloat with oil, the price would go down. Now, which do you think, that the people of great wealth who control certainly the five major oil corporations, British Petroleum, Royal Dutch Shell, Exxon and Chevron and Conoco, which do you think that they want? An excess amount of oil, the price goes down, or a shortage of oil, the price goes up, and of course, they want a shortage of oil. And that's why, of course, they created the artificial shortages. They made us dependent upon other nations, whereas we have enough oil here in the United States, certainly offshore and in federal land, oil and natural gas to last us hundreds of years. But and in fact, there are actually government reports that will tell you that, and you will never see them mentioned in the controlled media, because there's a vested interest in convincing the American people that if there's a shortage of oil, and that's why oil is at $80 a barrel now, it's going to $100 a barrel, and of course maybe much higher than that, and that is going to have a profound impact upon our economy, and going right along with the impoverishment of the American people, destroying our airline industry, our agricultural industry. And well, I'm going to go to Lindsay William because he's been studying this, and in fact he was just giving a talk on this, what was it, a week or two ago, Lindsay?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Stan, for allowing me to be on Radio Liberty tonight at a time when crude oil is playing such a major part in the life of every single one of us. And yes, you're right. I just came back from two speaking engagement seminars abroad. I was in Cancun, Mexico for a 8-day seminar in which I was a speaker, and then came home only for a day or two, then went to Panama, where I was in 9 days a speaker in a seminar there. And I am utterly amazed, Dr. Stan, what has taken place in the 9 days that I was outside the United States of America, because every bit of it relates back to the price of crude oil.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you explain to our listeners what's really going on and why this price of crude oil is so pivotal as far as the very existence of our society is concerned?
Well, let me begin with a statement, and then, of course, through the program, this will be very well explained. The standard currency of the world is crude oil. It's not the dollar, neither is it the euro nor the ruble, but crude oil. Now, the price of crude oil affects all of our lives. And back when I had executive status with the 9 major oil companies during the construction of the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. All right, go right ahead, Lindsay.
When I heard them talking about the fact that in the early 1960s, crude oil was chosen as a method of controlling the world. Just think for a moment. One thing that touches the life of every human being, I care not whether it be the person living in a third world country in a cardboard shack or living in America in a multi-million dollar home. Crude oil touches the life of every single person. For instance, the toothbrush that you use tonight when you brush your teeth. It's made out of plastic. It comes from crude oil. Plastic bag in the garbage can. It was made out of crude oil. Asphalt highway you drive on, made out of crude oil. The polyester clothes a person wears, made out of crude oil. The drugs at the drugstore. Gasoline at the gas pump. And back when I was sitting in the board meetings with the elitists of the world during the construction of the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, when I had executive status with those nine major oil companies, I heard them talking about a 30-year plan that they had for the world. Now, Dr. Stan, back, oh, I guess it was probably 3 years ago, I had the privilege of being on your show for the first time, and I said that I had predicted many years ago that the price of crude oil was going to $3 a gallon. And here it is, right now, crude oil, up there to $3 a gallon plus. And last week, just while I was out of the city on those speaking engagements, crude oil hit a spike on one day at $88. Gold, which of course goes right along with crude oil, went to $780, a spike up to $780 an ounce. And the same week, we had a $100 billion bailout because the dollar is in so much trouble. Every single bit of this relates directly to the price of crude oil because that's what's causing the dollar to be where it is today. For instance, when the oil-producing countries of the world stopped using the dollar as the standard currency for the trade of crude oil, the dollar began its collapse. With the beginning of the collapse of the dollar began the real estate bubble problem that we've got in our country today. And then for the first time in the history of the United States of America, on Friday, September the 28th, 07, that's just days ago, the dollar broke below 78 basis points, went to 77.7 to be exact. Every bit of this is a direct result of what is happening to the price of crude oil. So all of our lives are being impacted in a major way by the control factor that they chose. I was sitting there in the board meetings hearing them talk about the fact that in the early 1960s they chose crude oil as a method of controlling the world. And Dr. Stan, somehow I'd like to express to every person listening...
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Lindsay is simply saying that when he was sitting in the boardrooms there with the leaders of the eight or nine largest oil companies in the world, he was there, he was given the benefit of executive status because he was working as a minister, but he was doing such a good job of helping build that pipeline that allowed him to come to the board meetings, and that God must have intervened. So he'd have this information so he could tell us today, but he was talking that certainly when they were meeting there and they were talking about how they had a 30-year plan for the control of the world. And how were they going to control the world? These are the oil executives were saying, we're going to use oil to control the world. And of course, you control the price of oil and the availability of oil. You control energy production and, of course, all the things that go with it. You can't do farming without diesel fuel. You can't fly planes without jet fuel. You can't drive your car without gasoline. You can't deliver the products which are delivered to your grocery store or to your department store unless we have major trucks carrying that. So, and then, of course, as Lindsay points out, whether it be the plastic in your toothbrush, whether it be the plastic that you use to wrap up your food, whether it would be many of the pharmaceuticals you use, they are all dependent upon oil, even some of the pigments in the paint you're using. Oil is a universal product, and control oil. You control the people. You control the wealth of the world. And that's exactly what these people were plotting, and Lindsay was there listening to them. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Well, Dr. Stan, I'd like to express to every person in your listening audience, everything that Dr. Stan Monteith says is the truth. Now, I know sometimes that people have a little difficulty believing some of the things that are real, because oftentimes it's more difficult to believe reality than it is to believe some fairy tale somewhere. Folks, believe everything you hear on Dr. Stan's program. I get his newsletter every month. I wouldn't want to do without it. I think it is marvelous. Everything he's saying is truth. There are people on the face of the earth who control the world. I know. I lived with them for 3 years. I stayed in the same dorm with them at Prudhoe Bay. I sat across the dinner table from them. There are people on the face of the earth that are who Dr. Stan says they are. They're people who control the world. They have an agenda. They're manipulating the world the way that they want it to go. They chose crude oil as a method of controlling the world back in the early 60s. And today, the standard currency of the world is crude oil. Now, let me try to just explain this a little bit and go a little bit deeper into depth. When these countries stopped using the dollar, it had been since the early 60s, the dollar had been the currency in which they traded crude oil. I don't care whether it was Iran, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, whatever country it may be, the dollar was always used up until about a year ago for the standard currency for the trade of crude oil. Then, the first country that jumped ship and said, we aren't going to do this anymore. We're going to use something besides the dollar. The first country was Iran, March the 20th of 06. It said, no more dollars. We're going to use some other currency for the trade of crude oil. Then, on the heels of Iran was Venezuela. Now, notice that this was the same time that the dollar started its slide. Because everything that's happening to the dollar today, all that's happening in the real estate market, with the burst of the bubble, what's taking place with inflation in our country, the price of gasoline at the gas pump, every bit of it relates directly to the use of the dollar for the trade and sale of crude oil. So first was Iran, then Venezuela. Now think back on this. And then Nigeria came along and said, as soon as we run out Shell Oil Company, we're going to use something else besides the dollar. Then on the heels of that was Bolivia. Then the nail that was driven into the coffin of the dollar was when Russia, which by the way as of November of last year became equal to Saudi Arabia in oil output, on May the 11th of 06, Russia said, we're going to use a ruble. We're not going to use a dollar anymore. And then, oh, I couldn't believe it. Friday, September the 21st, 2007, Saudi Arabia said, OPEC and other Arab countries and I are considering the possibility of going to another currency instead of using the dollar. Now,
I think it's so important for our listeners to understand that if the dollar ceases to be the reserve currency of the year of the world, the other countries control about, pretty close to $3 trillion in dollars. And they're going to dump those dollars, and they're going to buy up America, and because, of course, everything in the United States is worth only about $12 billion, so they're going to, and they already, foreign countries already own about 25% of our industrial base. They'll be able to buy up another 50% of our industrial base, and there'll be very little that'll be American-owned, and that's exactly the way it is in a third-world country. They're in the process of transferring our manufacturing, our jobs to other nations, because they really want to make America a third world nation. And people say, that's crazy. That could never happen here. And I would ask, why not? Of course, not only is it happening, but if God is just, he is going to bring terrible judgment on this country. And we can look at this from a financial point of view, or we can look at it from a spiritual point of view. And I would like to suggest, if we totally leave the spiritual component out and leave God out, then a lot of things going on don't make sense. But if you understand there is a spiritual battle going on, and God does bring judgment on nations, why, of course, we can understand where America's headed. Please pick up the story, Lindsay.
Well, Dr. Stan, as a result of the world not using the dollar as a standard currency for the trade of crude oil, as you have just stated, that is exactly what has taken place last week. Yeah, the records came out last week. In the month of August, Japan and China led a record withdrawal of foreign funds from the United States. Heightened fears of a fresh slide in the dollar and the spike of U.S. bonds. Okay, here are the figures. The U.S. requires $70 billion a month of capital inflow to cover its current account deficit. And listen to what happened now. This was during the month of August. Asian investors dumped $52 billion worth of U.S. Treasury bonds alone. Led by Japan, $23 billion. China, $14.2 billion. Taiwan, $5 billion. All of this took place in the month of August. Why? Because the dollar is no longer being used as the standard currency for the trade of crude oil. The world does not need it as it one time needed it. And as a result, everything that is happening in our economy today, everything, even down to the burst of the bubble of the real estate market, every bit of it, inflation included, is all directly related to the fact that the standard currency of the world is crude oil. And when these nations, Iran, Venezuela, Nigeria, Bolivia, Russia, and then Saudi Arabia, said, we're going to use something else besides the dollar, the whole world began to dump the dollar in a massive way. Data from the U.S. Treasury showed an outflow of $163 billion from all forms of U.S. investments during the month of August. These numbers are absolutely stunning, because the average American must realize that at this point, we are very rapidly becoming the elitist are making of us, may I put it that way, exactly as Dr. Stan has said for so long on his program. The elitist are making America become a third world nothing. It's unbelievable, Dr. Stan.
And, of course, the average American really doesn't understand that. They believe when the government tells them that, oh, we have no inflation, 2% inflation, 2%, 2.1% core inflation. That is, of course, the inflation rate. That's what they're going to pay the elderly who are on Social Security. They're going to get an extra maybe $25 this year because of inflation. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the inflation rate's running about 11%, and they're simply lying to you. When George Bush went into the White House, oil was $20 a barrel. Today, oil, of course, is almost $80 a barrel. Now, that, of course, is quadrupled. And yet, of course, they insist there's no inflation. Well, core inflation, of course, ignores food. It ignores fuel. It ignores anything that's going up in value. And simply, although figures don't lie, liars can figure. And as long as you can keep the American people from realizing that the America's central bank is intent upon destroying the value of your savings, your pension, your annuities, your CDs, anything that you have tied to the dollar, until as long as the American people don't need that, don't understand that, they're going to go right along with the system. But unfortunately, most Americans are going to lose the value of almost everything they have, including their pensions. Social Security is going belly up. Starting in January of 2008, just about 2 months from now, why, of course, 3 months from now at the most, the baby boomers are going to begin to retire. An awful lot of them are going to retire at 62. Why? Because they know there's no money in the Social Security Fund, and they want to get their share money out before the system goes kaput. And what do you think is going to happen? Well, of course, there's not enough money, of course, to pay all the people retiring and then all the people who are already retired. And the whole system is simply hanging by a thread, and they know it's going to collapse. They just don't dare let the American people know, because they'd be furious with the elitists who've created this problem, not by accident, not by ineptitude, but by intent. Go right ahead, Lindsay.
Dr. Stan, $5 a gallon for milk, I think it speaks for itself. Groceries have gone up 21% since January the 1st of this year.
But, of course, the inflation's only 2.1%, ladies and gentlemen. Either the government's lying or your eyes are lying, one or the other. And I would rather think that it is the government lying, because I can see what's happening, and I look at what's happening to the price of fuel. I see what's happening. I ordered some things from a catalog today. I haven't had the catalog very long, but the prices on almost everything had gone up, but the prices were listed in the catalog are no longer applicable. The prices on everything is going up, but they can't tell the American people.
Dr. Stan, you're exactly right. And oh, how I would like to punctuate my statement that folks listen to everything Dr. Stan has to say on his program. He is telling you the truth, trying his best to help you understand that we are in a crisis situation, and it all began with crude oil.
Right. Well, I think that, Chris, we're going to have Lindsay keep us abreast of really the implications of what's going on, because Lindsay is talking to people all across the country, all across the world. Everybody in the world knows what's going on. Everybody in the world knows they're going to destroy the economy of the United States. The once proud America, once, of course, the envy of the whole world, the land of the free and the, well, today, unfortunately, it's become the home of the depraved. Lindsay, go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, this is also spreading to other countries. Other countries are beginning to realize that the American dollar is so worthless. For instance, on Wednesday, September the 26th of 07, just days ago, Egypt and Israel. I couldn't believe this. I mean, this startled me so much. Egypt and Israel both sent communiques to Washington, D.C., to the White House, requesting that their foreign aid money be given to the renewals. When I looked at that, I thought, wait a minute now. You're giving them this, and they turn around and say that the American dollar is so worthless now that they want it in euros? You know, Dr. Stan, this showed up on my trip to Cancun, Mexico, where I was there for 8 days and then came home for a few days and went to Panama, where I spoke in another seminar for a 9-day period. When we were in the airport, I thought, well, wait a minute. And then we got to the resort in Cancun and also the one in Panama, and I looked around. We went in, by the way, a day or two early because I wanted to be there and be my best ready for the seminar. And I noticed that the resort, in fact, they had no one there. And they said this was the nicest resort in the country of Panama. I mean, it really very fancy. And the one in Cancun was the same way. And I thought, wait a minute, where are the people? The group that we were with, which was quite a few hundred people from many different countries of the world in both of these seminars, and our group filled up about everything that was in the hotel, and then when our group left, the hotel was literally deserted. Now, tourist trade is being affected by this in a major way. I couldn't believe that there were no people there just before the seminar, right after the seminar, and the day or two that I stayed over, and when we came back home on Continental Airlines from Panama just 2 days ago, the aircraft was nearly empty. I mean, I have not seen an aircraft like this in years. I mean, I flew this way back in the 80s, but now every seat is filled almost on every airplane. There were so few people on that aircraft from Panama coming back into Houston, Texas, and then we went on from there to Phoenix, Arizona. And I thought, well, now, what's wrong? The airplane was so empty that each member of our family, my son, my wife, and I, were all on these seminars together. And all three of us had a seat to ourselves. We laid down, took a nap all the way from Panama back to Houston, Texas. The airplane was so empty. I mean, tourist trade is being affected. The American dollar is being affected. Our lifestyle is being changed. And every bit of it goes back, Dr. Stan, to what I heard 35 years ago. And I'm so glad that you verified this by calling Mr. Jim Lawler that time and asking him the question, is Lindsey Williams really for real, or is he just a flake out there somewhere? I'm so glad that you verified that so that people know that what I heard in their board meetings 35 years ago, they're doing every bit of it.
Right, right. I asked Mr. Lawler to come on the program. He couldn't because he was still working for British Petroleum. I suspect he's probably retired now, but I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who know what's going on, but nobody has certainly been as outspoken as Lindsey Williams, who will tell you later about his book, which we carry, and the books that he has. And it's so vitally important that people understand that, of course, as oil goes up higher and higher, why, of course, the value of the dollar is going to keep declining in value because, of course, the oil has been certainly what's behind the reserve status of the American dollar. And unfortunately, the reserve status of the American dollar is about to be lost. Well, this is Dr. Stan. You go right ahead, Lindsey. Lindsey was simply commenting that it had been down in Panama here recently at a meeting and flying back. First of all, there was nobody at the hotel other than the couple of hundred people at the conference he was attending. But the tourist business in Panama, which has always been vibrant, seems to have really slowed down. Flying back from Panama, on Continental, why there was hardly anybody on the plane. Instead of being crowded planes, suddenly not very many people flying internationally. Suddenly it seems to be the economy is beginning to slow down throughout the world, and certainly this is true in Europe. They're very, very concerned about this over in China, that the Chinese market may be on the verge of simply a financial collapse. Well, go ahead, Lindsey.
Well, the standard currency of the world is crude oil. I don't know how I can state this emphatically enough. I heard them talking about 35 years ago how they were going to use crude oil as a method of controlling the world, but that stand, I never, in the wildest dream of my imagination, could have ever imagined that the American dollar would literally collapse as a result of the price of crude oil and the fact that the dollar is not being used as the standard currency for the trade of crude oil anymore. And folks, you're going to have the most rude awakening that you could ever imagine in just a few weeks' time. Now, let me try to explain why. Last week, while I was down in Panama for this seminar, crude oil spiked one day to $88 and some few cents. Now, that is going to show up in your heating oil bill. That's going to show up at the gas pump at approximately 25 to 30 cents increase, and they want $150 a barrel oil before they can open up Gull Island. Now, Dr. Stan, you remember the story of Gull Island. I'll take
sure,
time
right,
to
right.
tell that tonight. But the largest pool of oil in North America, I was there. It's recorded in my book, Energy Non-Crisis, under a chapter entitled, If Gull Island Doesn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. I was there the day that the top eight oil company officials of the world stood in Mr. Ken Fromm's office, and I had the privilege of walking into that room and hearing them say that they had just made America energy independent, that we didn't need any more foreign oil, that they had just discovered the largest pool of oil in North America and maybe the largest pool of oil on the face of the earth. And then the following day, I was told not to say anything about what I'd heard because that had just been ordered classified, and until this day, the largest pool of oil in North America, maybe the largest pool of oil on the face of the earth, as far as they were telling me that day, not one drop of crude oil has ever been allowed from that. And I asked Mr. Ken Fromm one day, I said, Ken, why don't you release the oil from Gull Island? And he said, Lindsay, we are not going to do it until the price of crude oil gets to where we want it. Then we will let the American refineries have that crude oil. You see, every bit of this is a design plan according to the agenda of the elitist, and what you're going to see is $150 a barrel oil eventually. At some point, it spiked up to $88 and some few cents last week. It's going to continue to climb. Therefore, your fuel bill is going to go up tremendously this winter. The price of gas at the gas pump within just the next few weeks is, in order to meet that crude oil spike last week, is going to have to go up at least 25 to 30 cents. And every bit of this is affecting our economy in such a major way. And oh, do I feel for the people across America, Dr. Stan, when they think of the natural gas bills they're going to have to pay this winter. In my book, Energy Non-Crisis, I talk about the amount of natural gas at Prudhoe Bay. You see, the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline corridor was designed to carry three pipelines. The oil companies built one, and then the federal government came along and said, you do not build any more. Now, one of those three pipelines was supposed to be a natural gas pipeline. But since there is no place to put that natural gas, when the oil comes up out of the ground at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, natural gas comes up with it naturally. It's just a part of the whole, all of it coming together. 1 billion, you heard me now, I did not say million, 1 billion cubic feet of natural gas every 24 hours is being pumped back into the ground at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. And Dr. Stan, I'll finish this when we get back.
And the thing we have to understand, of course, that they can't vent that in the atmosphere. It would be the polluting, as it's because it's a methane gas, so that they simply pump it back again. It could, of course, be brought down. It could have been put on, liquefied, put on tankers and brought to America. They could have come up with other alternatives. They don't want a solution, ladies and gentlemen. They want a problem. And that is, of course, how they're going to raise the prices here. And they work in concert with high government officials. Why? Because there's tremendous profits. Remember, when there's a shortage of oil and natural gas, and why the price goes up. When there's abundance, the price goes down. Which do you think they want? An abundance or a shortage? Well, this This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Lindsay, what was the response of the people that you were talking to coming from other countries about the things that you're talking about the, are they concerned about the demise of the dollar and the falling of the value of the dollar and what it's going to mean for the rest of the world? Because, of course, America has always been stable and our currency was stable. It was sought after until just recently. So what did other people say?
People in other countries, and we had many countries represented in both of the seminars that I was in, both the one in Cancun, Mexico, and also the one in Panama, they are stunned at what's happening to the American dollar. I mean, they are beside themselves to know what to do. China holds $1.3 trillion of American paper. We take products from them, give them back paper. And then Saudi Arabia holds $3.1 trillion of American paper. And these countries are bailing out so rapidly, it's unbelievable because they're scared to death. And the people that were in these seminars, they were asking me, they said, what is going on? What's happening to the U.S. dollar? And I tried to tell them that it is all directly related to crude oil, which is the standard currency of the world. And that since the dollar is no longer used as a reserve currency, that now crude oil is being denominated in its sales in other currencies, so the dollar is literally plummeting through the floor. But Dr. Stan, the thing that touched my heart, I think, more than anything else is, in this seminar in Panama, we had numerous big farmers from Western Canada, around Calgary and Edmonton, and they said to me, Captain Williams, we really have a problem. They said if the price of diesel fuel, crude oil goes up, the price of diesel fuel goes any higher, we cannot afford to tend our farms. Now, this was just last week in Panama at this seminar, and these big farmers that farm thousands of acres around Calgary and Edmonton, the wheat belt of that part of the country, and they said, we are really having a problem because of the price of diesel fuel. You see, folks, the price of crude oil relates to everything. From the toothbrush you use to the price at the grocers at the grocery store to the farmer being able to tend their crops, plant them, and reap the harvest in the fall. Every bit of this is a direct relationship to what's happening to crude oil. But then it just breaks my heart when I see the farmers, the one that's producing the food for the mouths of the people in this country, being hurt so much because Saudi Arabia... In Saudi Arabia, I'll just use that as an example because most people recognize that name very quickly as the leading oil-producing country of the world.
Hold that thought for just a moment, Lindsay. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Lindsay Williams, our guest. His book, Energy Non-Crisis. And it's certainly a classic. Lindsay, would you like to get your webpage out there so people would know how to get in touch with you?
Yes, Dr. Stan. You can go to my webpage. It's in LW. That's like Lindsay Williams, just the initial L, the initial W, oil, OIL.com. And Dr. Stan, I'm so alarmed at what is happening and so disturbed over what's taking place in my wonderful country that I love so much. I came back through customs, coming back from Panama, and the customs official was kind of jovial and chatting with us, and we didn't have too many people behind him. And I said, you know, every time I go to a foreign country, I come back to America, go through customs, and want to get out on the floor and kiss the ground. Regardless of what we are, we're still so wonderful to be back here, but when I look at what's happening to my wonderful country, it breaks my heart because I know who's doing it. I sat with the elitist of the world for 3 years on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. Someone asked the other day, why don't you have a glossary in your book, Energy Non-Crisis? I said, because I didn't go and read somebody else's book and write about what was taking place. I lived my story of the book, Energy Non-Crisis, and I am so startled at what is happening to this country. Now, you remember, Dr. Stan, back about 3 years ago when you allowed me for the first time to be on your show, I had 4 DVDs. That's all I had. In fact, I think it was VCRs back in those days. Now, today, we have 9 DVDs. Yes, and by the way, I want to get you some of my new DVDs, Dr. Stan, the one on the North American Union, the one that you see Lou Dobbs, you see Jim Cramer, and some others talking about what's happening in our economy today. We have another DVD that was prepared by a Nobel Prize nominee. And I said, something's going to happen to our healthcare system in America. Would you please prepare one just for those people that happen to be in my listening audience when I'm on radio shows? And another one prepared by one of the top economists in this country as to what to do when the dollar continues to collapse any further than what it is right now. I'm giving these DVDs away. That's right. I only had four some years ago. We have nine now. That means I am giving you, folks, if only you could understand my heart. I'm 71 years of age. Dr. Stan and I have been together. We relate back to those days years ago. I'm doing anything to try to help people know every issue from 1960 until 2007. And as a result, I'm giving away, Dr. Stan, I'm giving as a gift five DVDs now as a gift. When you buy just my four DVD set, I'm giving you five as a gift merely because I must see you know the issues. What about 9/11? What's happening to oil? What about banking? Why the dollar is collapsing? What's taking place? Saudi Arabia, it only costs $5 a barrel to get the oil out of the ground. Who is making the difference between $5 a barrel and nearly $90 a barrel? On the West Slope of Alaska, it costs $3 a barrel to get the oil out of the ground. You must hear the story on my DVD entitled The Energy Non-Crisis. 15 hours of a family library of information that will astound you. And I haven't increased the price at all. You just buy the four. I will give you five as a gift. And please, write down this number for me and give them a call. I've asked the operators to be standing by even tonight. The number is 800-321-2900. For nine DVDs, you only buy four. I give you five as a gift because I am so concerned about our country. I will give you as a gift a copy of my book, The Energy Non-Crisis. I will also give you as a gift a copy of my book, You Can Live, 263 pages of what you need. And please ask for the survival guide. Dr. Stan, we have even prepared, I am so concerned about our country and the way it's going, we have even prepared a survival guide that will help you to know everything that you should do in the case of an emergency, and we're giving it as a gift. Now, this is not a pamphlet. This is multi-color, many-pages survival guide that will help you to know everything that you can do in light of what I'm saying here tonight and in light of all the things that you hear Dr. Stan say. Please call them and ask them about all of this. Nine DVDs, Gift of the Survival Guide, my Energy Non-Crisis, my other book. The number is 800-321-2900 for a family library of 15 hours of quality digital DVD viewing.
All right, fine. Sounds like a great deal. You were pretty close to Congressman Hansen. Whatever happened to George?
I wish I knew. I have tried to get in touch with him lately, and for the life of me, I cannot find him anymore. They literally decimated that man. And I wish I knew where I could find him.
I just wondered, because George Hansen was an honest congressman who they arrested on trumped-up charges, tortured for 10 years, and, of course, eventually then said, oh, shucks, George, you never should have been convicted at all. Why, we're going to have you exonerated. Too bad. You're bankrupt, your health is ruined, your marriage is ruined, your professional career is ruined, and it was all just a mistake. And George Hansen was a very courageous man. He was very close to Lindsay. But anyway, Lindsay, as we begin talking about what's happening, as far as the farmers are concerned, the price of diesel is really going to put many of these farmers into a position where they'll not be able to continue farming, will they?
Oh, that's exactly what's happening. In fact, one of the farmers from Canada that was at this convention in Panama where I spoke just last week, he said to me, he said, why? He said, Chaplain Williams, why doesn't one of your congressmen stand up and do something about all this and tell the truth? My answer to him was, they all know what happened to John F. Kennedy when he tried to do away with the Federal Reserve. And they went on to ask me a story about that. And I said, they know exactly what happened to Larry McDonald whenever he tried to tell the truth. And I said, as a result, they're scared to death to move today. And so one of the bombers asked me, he said, well, Chaplain Williams, why are you still out there doing it? I said, because I have divine protection. And so then I went on to tell them just what you said a moment ago, Dr. Stan. Set your spiritual house in order. Folks, if there is ever a time when you need to get things right with the Lord, it's today. Because, you know, a house that's built on the rock, it's going to stand. When it's built on sand, it'll wash away. And regardless of what takes place in this country or in the world, even the food supply, you and I will make it if we know that we're safe in Jesus Christ, that we have accepted Him as our Savior, that our spiritual house is established. And oh, right now, it is so vitally important that that be the very first thing that every single person does. And I'm so glad to hear Dr. Stan being willing to say this out in the broadcast. And I would just punctuate it that this is so vitally important. And then when all of this, these things take place, regardless of what happens in your household, you'll be able to stand. So, Dr. Stan, back to that natural gas that I was mentioning a moment ago.
Okay, go right ahead.
1 billion cubic feet of natural gas every 24 hours is being pumped back into the ground at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. And just so that you'll know that look at this and find it for yourself. They're using 747 type jet aircraft engines. It takes that many to pump 1 billion cubic feet of natural gas back into the ground. They're adapted for that purpose. We have enough natural gas on the north slope of Alaska on the Prudhoe Bay oil field to supply the entire United States of America for over 200 years if every other natural gas well in America were cut off tomorrow morning at the projected rate of increased consumption. And this is an atrocity because the oil companies wanted to build a natural gas pipeline down the same corridor as a crude oil pipeline, liquefy it in Valdez, and bring it out to the lower 48 states, and they intentionally said, no, don't do it. We have the infrastructure for transporting this all across the United States of America, and they wouldn't let them bring it. So as a result, what's going to happen to your natural gas bill this winter? It could be going down. Instead, it's going up. The crude oil from the Gull Island oil field, within a year and a half, the price of gasoline at the gas pump could be less than $1.50 a gallon. And our president knows this. Our oil president and vice president both know it. The only place that there is a shortage is in Washington. It's a shortage of honesty. But and foreigners, Dr. Stan, when I went to these two conventions and was a speaker in both Cancun, Mexico, and then right back-to-back to that with Mexico and Panama, you know, everybody out there from Canada, from Europe, we had a country, we had one person there from one of the Iranian countries, and they all said to me, the dollar is collapsing. You know, the only place, Dr. Stan, I find that people don't know the dollar is collapsing, it's right here in the United States of America. But all the rest of the world, the people I was with, everyone said the dollar is on the way out. My contention is that they want the dollar to collapse so they can bring in the Amero.
It may very well be the Amero. Could be another global currency. It doesn't matter what they call it. They've want to destroy the dollar. And only when the dollar is destroyed will the American people be willing to accept another currency. But in the meantime, the vast majority of the American people are going to be impoverished. That is what we have to get people to understand. And this is not happening by accident. It has happened by design. They intentionally designed this housing bubble to fail. And anybody who doubts that needs to read my latest newsletter. It'll be out probably in about 2 weeks. I think it's Financial Collapse Part 3 in a four-part series. You need to read it. You need to understand. They knew back in the year 2000 exactly what was going on. And, of course, people on the Federal Reserve Board tried to get Alan Greenspan to do something, and he refused to do it. And you have to ask yourself, why? Because Mr. Greenspan is a brilliant individual. He knew what he was doing. He created the housing bubble. He encouraged people to buy homes with adjustable rate mortgages, ARMs, as they call them. Encouraged people to refinance their homes, knowing full well that the time would come when, of course, the value of those homes would fall, and these people would lose their homes, and their mortgages would become simply unserviceable. They've created this whole crisis, and the question is, why? Well, Lindsay, certainly, as you talk to people throughout the world, they're concerned about the collapsing of the dollar. What's happening to the economy in other countries?
You know, this is what is so strange, Dr. Stan. As I travel to these other countries, I find that the economy is booming. I am amazed. They said in Canada, booming economy. Mexico, booming economy. The people who were there from Europe in these seminars, the economy is booming. They said the only place in the world that we're seeing a downturn in the economy is in your country of America. The euro is booming. The pound, sterling, is booming. The other currencies, most all of them are going up. And the American dollar is plummeting through the floor. And I look at all of this, you know, it was so comical, Dr. Stan, when I went to Mexico, Cancun, Mexico. I would say that 90% of the people there came from the United States of America. And then we had people from many other countries of the world, too. But I'd say about 90% came from America. Everybody wanted to use a credit card. I was utterly amazed when they bought my package of 9 DVDs had my book given to them. I would say probably 80% of the people used a credit card. The rest of them wanted to use a check. Then I went to Panama, where we had people from every other country in the world except America, mainly Canadians, but quite a few people from Europe also. You know the only thing they used? The American dollar. I was amazed. There were $100 bills flying all over the place. I did not use a single credit card, not one, in Panama, and there were people from other countries. And I asked one of them, I said, why? He said, oh, we haven't corrupted quite as far as you Americans have yet. He said, we don't depend on credit for everything. Not a single credit card was given to me in Panama. One check only. Everything else was cash. When they would buy my DVDs and get my book, I look at this and I say, oh, you poor Americans, why don't you wake up? Dr. Stan, I urge your audience, everybody listening to this radio broadcast, I beg of you, hear what Dr. Stan says every day. He is trying his best to tell you the truth. He's a watchman standing on the wall, and it's amazing how day after day he gets out there and tells you these facts, and everything he is saying is the truth.
Well, I appreciate your saying that, Lindsay. We do our best. We certainly try to get people to understand that behind everything going on today, behind this entire move to destroy the stability of our nation, to create a one-world government and a one-world religion, and with a one-world leader, behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces. There really are people who have a different worldview. They want to bring the kingdom of God to earth, but they never, of course, say which God they're talking about, and I would like to suggest that they all worship the different God, the other God. So I think it's so vitally important that people understand that when we see these things taking place today that just don't make sense, if they don't make sense, there has to be another explanation. And that takes us, of course, into the study of the occult forces working within the shadows, which, you know, only occasionally we see a glimpse of, but when we do, the implications are terrifying. Well, Lindsay, what advice do you give to people? What should people be doing today to protect themselves, or is there anything they can do to protect themselves and their life savings?
Yes, Dr. Stan, they can. And when I look around and see what's taking place today, I beg people to know the issues. That's the first thing you need to do. When you listen to Dr. Stan day after day, do what you need to do in order to maintain your lifestyle. Set your spiritual house in order. That's the first thing that you should do. Then I would urge you, again, I'm just not trying to sell a package of DVDs, because if I did, I would still only have 4 like I did years ago, and I would sell them. I have 9, and you're only paying for 4. I'm going to give you 5 DVDs, one on health, what you can do when the health care system fails. Do you really think the doctor and the nurse is going to go to the job when they don't get paid, or the school teacher? Now, then let's come down to what's happening in the financial field. How can you prepare your house in light of what's taking place? What about the North American Union and the issue of the Amero, which they have set a date for 2010 to do all of this? We have prepared DVDs on every one of these subjects, along with crude oil, along with what's happening to the family farm, I even interview a banker in one of my DVDs, and he tells us of the intricate interworkings of the banking cartel and how they do it. Now, with all of these things, you will be able to know how to prepare yourself, and we'll even give you a survival guide so that you'll know what to do about it afterward. Please dial 800-321-2900, and hopefully these things will be a great help to you.
All right, fine. Well, our guest this evening has been Lindsay Williams. We've been talking about what's going on. We've been talking about oil. And, of course, there really is no oil shortage, but they're going to use the perception of an oil shortage to drive the price of oil up. And as they do that, they progressively impoverish the American people. Certainly, Russia is the one of the largest oil and natural gas producers in the world today. And, of course, they want, of course, all payment to be made in rubles, not in dollars for their oil. Everything is changing. We're losing our country. Well, Lindsay, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What are the thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners tonight?
I'd like to do it in the form of a story, Dr. Tanstan, and note my wording very carefully. In 1960, I drove to a service station. The attendant walked out of the building and said, "What can I do for you?" And I said, "Fill her up." He washed my windshield, checked my tires, raised the hood, checked my oil, came back around and said that'll be 35 cents a gallon. That year, crude oil was 4 quarts to a gallon. Now, let's go to 2007. I drive to a gas station. There's no attendant. You can't afford one anymore. No windshield washing. No one. I have to get out, put my credit card in the pump, and get no service whatsoever. $3 plus per gallon. Today, oil is still 4 quarts to a gallon. I try to express to people in these seminars I go to, the gasoline has not changed. Gasoline is still 4 quarts to a gallon, and proportionately to the value of the dollar, we're still paying today exactly what we paid for a gallon of gas in 1960, 35 cents a gallon. The only thing that has changed in value is the value of the currency that we purchase the gasoline with. The dollar has plummeted through the floor. The nations of the world are literally scared to death who are holding dollars. Now, folks, take courage. If you know the mindset of the elitist, you can overcome them. You will be able to survive and have a nice home and life for yourself if you take action now. There's no reason to be afraid. I sleep quite well at night. I don't look behind bushes when I travel. And everything that Dr. Stan says, take them to heart, make preparations now, and you don't have to worry. The Bible says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Don't ever be afraid of truth. And that's what you're hearing here tonight, what Dr. Stan says. And if you know that truth, you can be free and be joyous through all the things that are taking place in this world today.
And I think that's absolutely true. I think that we make all of our preparations if it's up to us, but in the final analysis, it's really up to our Lord. And it says that we're going to have to put our faith in Him, because everything we have done in the way of material things and material preparations may fail. We would be foolish not to do it, but in the final analysis, we are involved in a spiritual battle, and this is God's battle. We are called to do our best. Lindsay is called. He's been on the front lines of this battle for many years as a Christian missionary, and now as Christian educator, and that's what Radio Liberty does as well. Lindsay, God bless you. We'll talk to you later this week.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, for allowing me the privilege of being on your show.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we do carry Lindsay's book, The Energy Non-Crisis, and we also have a 4-tape set on oil. And I think you'll find it fascinating. Most of what you've been told about oil just is not true. So if you'd like, of course, to get the book, The Energy Non-Crisis, you'd like to get our 4-tape set, why, it is available. And then we have so many 4-tape sets on everything. We have 4-tape sets on the North American Union. We have 4-tape sets on globalism. We have 4-tape sets on autism. A created epidemic that is claiming the lives of about one in every 150 children. But remember, certainly one in every 6 American children has some sort of a neurobehavioral abnormality. Probably every child in America's life, a brain has been damaged. With the use of aspartame, which is a terrible, terrible poison, and they put it in so many of the foods and drinks of our children, and then, of course, there's the mercury that's in the vaccines, and, of course, they've told you they've taken out of childhood vaccines, and they're simply playing games with words. They have left it in vaccines given to children, and the influenza shot, which does very little good. And yet, of course, they keep encouraging everybody, children and adults, to get it, and especially the elderly. Of course, it contains their full dose of toxic mercury. There is no safe dose of mercury, and yet, of course, they're poisoning our elderly. And, of course, if you would take your influenza shots, and your age between 60 and 65, and you take three or four of your influenza shots over a five-year period, 10 years down the line, the chance of Alzheimer's goes up 1,000%, tenfold. And of course, this is why Alzheimer's disease is the seventh largest cause of death in America today. Why? Because there are too many elderly. The whole system's going to collapse unless we can kill off the elderly. And there are people in government who are poisoning our people and encouraging them to get the influenza shot. And if you read the literature, not what they say about 36,000 people die every year of influenza, they do not. They die of pneumonia. There are probably not more than 1,000 die of influenza, and there are certainly people who have serious immune problems, seriously ill, and that's why they pass away. But they're poisoning our children. They're destroying their minds, and then, of course, they're doing it with the fluoride, and when they use the hydrofluorosilicic acid, it increases doubles the incidence of lead in the blood. That's Dr. Professor Roger Masters' work out of Dartmouth. What you need to do, of course, is get the material. We have a great interview with Roger Masters. Dr. Roger Masters at Dartmouth. You can look him up on the Internet, and we have his material. We want you to find out what's going on. You need to get my talk on None Dare Call It Genocide. It's a DVD. You need to get my talk on planned population reduction. Oh, you need to get our video on population control, our four-tape set, our monograph on planned, the population control agenda monograph. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, there are people out there with an entirely different worldview. How do we understand it? Well, you really need to get our four-tape or four-CD set called The Supernatural. And, of course, the book that goes with that, entitled The Beautiful Side of Evil, by Johanna Michelson, who was actually deeply involved in the occult. She was a medium until she finally realized that it was all demonic. You need to get my talk on The Forbidden Secret. The Forbidden Secret, there's a syllabus that goes with that, but the DVD stands pretty well on its own. You need to get our four CD or four tape set on The Secret Behind the Secret, the answer to Rhonda Byrne's video and DVD that have been featured on Oprah Winfrey and certainly on Larry King and Ellen DeGeneres and, of course, Jim Carrey. They will all tell you that The Secret is the path to success in the world, to learn how to manipulate the universe with your mind. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can do it, but it will cost you your soul. And let me warn you that there is certainly another dimension out there which you have to come in contact with, and by so doing, why you risk eternity. If you have not heard the videos on They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, they're available from Radio Liberty. 3-hour, 4-hour, 10-hour versions. Our number 1-800-544-8927.